is Under Milk Wood, a new drama, Under Milk Woods.
BBC Radio 3, the home of discovery.
It's beautifully pointed.
Yeah,
it's dance music.
You can tell you want to dance to that when you hear it, don't you?
The home of curiosity.
I'm a sucker for strong melody. I love 20th century atonal classical music too, but there's something about an earworm.
The home of unique performances you won't get anywhere else.
They are a brilliant ensemble. You know, they're one of the best orchestras in the world.
BBC Radio 3, the home of classical music. On your radio, on your smart speaker, and on BBC Sounds.
It's exactly 70 years this week since the first broadcast of Dylan Thomas's much-loved radio drama Under Milk Wood on the BBC's third programme, the precursor to Radio 3. To mark this anniversary, we've commissioned five Welsh writers to create short dramatic portraits of their part of Wales in 2024. The cast includes Sophie Melville, Airy Thomas, Ivan Hugh David, Dean Ruckman, Alan David and Ruth Jones, with a little help from Richard Burton. Our new dramas, Under Milk Woods, are introduced by writer Joe Dunthorne.
To begin at the beginning. It's 70 years since those words were first heard on the radio. In January 1954, the BBC premiered a play for voices about 24 hours in the life of a small and seemingly unhinged Welsh seaside town. It was called Under Milk Wood. Since then, Dylan Thomas's iconic radio play has been recorded, filmed and staged countless times, but Thomas himself never got to hear that first radio production. He died 2 months before it was broadcast. In some ways, Under Milk Wood was the piece that he had been working on for his entire writing life, starting in an issue of Swansea Grammar School magazine from 1931. He was a precocious 17-year-old student when he published this dialogue between Mussolini and his wife. Mussolini: "Is nothing in this place ever right?" Wife, complacently: "No, dear. I hope you remembered to change your underclothing." Mussolini: "I did, and to air my shirt, and do my teeth, and wash behind my ears." In its wit and rhythm, you can already begin to hear Under Milk Wood's Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard and her two dead husbands. "I must put my pyjamas in the drawer marked pyjamas." And then, just a year later, Thomas was telling his Swansea friend Bert Trick about an idea for a Welsh Ulysses. At this point, it was a story called Llaregib, 24 hours in a mythical village in South Wales, with terraced houses, with one tea bach to about five cottages, and the various characters coming out and emptying the slops and exchanging greetings and so on. But it wasn't until the grim final years of the Second World War that Thomas produced the outline of a play, working title The Town That Was Mad, in which the entire population of a Welsh village are certified insane by an inspector from London. It's a story in which the town's madness comes to seem like the only sane response to a world that has lost its way. Throughout the 1940s, Thomas worked on his play, but it never quite found its form. At the same time, a BBC radio producer in Cardiff, T. Rowland Hughes, was making what he called sound pictures, portraits of Welsh communities through interview, song, actuality and dramatic reconstructions. For Thomas, this hybrid form offered a productive new approach, and he wrote and broadcast a radio portrait of where he was living in Newquay in West Wales.
"Quite early one morning in the winter in Wales, by the sea that was lying down still and green as grass, after a night of tar-black howling and rolling, I went out of the house where I had come to stay for a cold, unseasonable holiday to see if it was raining still, if the outhouse had been blown away, potatoes, shears, rat killer, shrimp nets and tins of rusty nails aloft on the wind, and if all the cliffs were left."
In this piece, quite early one morning, we can hear him finding not just the voice of Under Milk Wood, but its characters too. This is where we meet Reverend Eli Jenkins, Captain Cat, and Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard. "And before you let the sun in, mind he wipes his shoes." In October 1953, Thomas finally delivered the completed script of Under Milk Wood to the BBC's Douglas Cleverdon. Once copies had been made, the original script was returned to Thomas, who promptly lost it in a pub in Soho before taking a flight to America. Fortunately, Cleverdon retraced Thomas's pub crawl and tracked the manuscript down in the Swiss Tavern on Old Compton Street. 2 weeks later, shortly after his 39th birthday, he died from a severe lung infection at St. Vincent's Hospital, New York. After the first radio broadcast in January 1954, featuring the hypnotic voice of Richard Burton, the play was published as a book, selling 13,000 copies in the first month and 53,000 that year. It remains the defining work of his career. His advice to his New York cast before the first ever stage production at the Poetry Center in New York was that they should love the words, and it's a play in which every line speaks of his joy in language. To mark the 70th anniversary of the original radio broadcast, five writers from across Wales have written new dramatic portraits of their hometowns. This was actually an idea first pitched to the BBC by Dylan Thomas himself back in 1938, and it's only taken 8.5 decades to get it greenlit. Our writers are Manon Stefan Ross, Mena Elvin, Hannan Issa, Rachel Trezise, and me, Joe Dunthorne. And our first voice is played by Ruth Jones. As in Thomas's play, we will trace the course of a single day, but here we travel from Swansea to the North Wales coast, from Newquay in Ceredigion to Cardiff, and finally to the Rhondda. This is Under Milk Woods.
To begin at the beginning.
To start at the start.
It is spring, moonless night in the small town, starless and Bible black. The cobble streets silent and the hunched quarters and rabbit's wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow black, fishing boat bobbing sea.
And it is also spring, moonless night, in the medium-sized coastal city, with its four-lane bypass and the new pedestrian bridge in the shape of a taco. And it does have fishing boats, dry docked up on the seawall, masts all on the wonk. And though it's not quite Bible black on account of the light pollution, it'll have to do.
Hush, the babies are sleeping. The farmers, the fishers, the tradesmen and pensioners, cobbler, schoolteacher, postman and publican.
Hush, the lifeguards are sleeping. The van drivers, chefs, beauticians, opticians.
The undertaker and the fancy woman, drunkard, dressmaker, preacher, policeman.
The influencer and the youth team physio, wreckhead, key cutter, artist, and the community outreach officers.
And all the people of the lulled and dumbfound town are sleeping now.
And all the people of the lulled and dumbfound town are sleeping now. All trying to. Some flip their pillows, others stuff foam plugs into their ears, but find the neighbour's dog still yapping on the inside of their head. And here and there, across Swansea Bay, others still are failing to forget the suffocatingly polite work email they'll have to write first thing, as on the backs of their eyelids, they see the words, take shape.
Best wishes. Best wishes.
Best wishes. Best wishes.
Best wishes.
Best wishes. Very best wishes. And then, behind a small red-doored house in the sandfields, well below sea level, Caitlin gives up on her book
about developing a growth mindset
and decides to just get out of bed. In the green light from the microwave, she gets changed, fills a flask of tea and heads out through the quiet streets, bathers on beneath her clothes, rolled up towel under one arm, walking with great strides.
In close imitation of the kind of person who would actually want to wake up at a time like this.
Which would be Helen from her office.
Who's out there every morning without fail.
And Caitlin thinks of her as she crosses the car park of the big Tesco, shelf stackers gliding their cages through the grid.
Oh, for a dip, is it, love?
two security guards are vaping at the trolley park.
Go ahead, girl. Be a long walk tonight, mind.
Watch your sewage now.
And even as she crosses four lanes of traffic and scrabbles up the bank and across the bike track and feels her feet sink into sand, she hears them still, calling to her like the voices of the drowned.
The thing is, right, it's the overflow you've got to watch for, see?
Because then the sewers of the tower.
And the sewers of the Dovey.
And the Klein treatment works.
And if it's been raining as well, which, let's be honest.
When has it not been raining?
And the council might say blue flag this and the RNLI that.
But it's all got to go somewhere, hasn't it?
And meanwhile, in an unlit bedroom on the hill, Emlyn and Fiona whisper beneath the covers.
Don't move.
Don't breathe.
Their little boy has finally gone quiet in the cot, his face frustratingly angelic.
Given what an absolute psycho he's been for the past 3 hours.
They grip each other's hands in the dark and promise they will do it all together. The long nights, plunging soiled sheets into buckets, watching bad TV with the sound off on their phones, teamwork in the unholy hours, and no matter how ruined they feel, they will
not become one of those couples who only see each other in the handovers like bus drivers and nod into each other across the Divati lights.
Oh, he's asleep.
Oh, Lord. What time is it?
Hi, Dad.
What time?
I'm done in.
How can it still be dark?
Emlyn's phone briefly glows beneath the duvet.
4:15.
That's not a time.
They lie there, splayed out, as though having fallen from a great height. While from the streets outside they hear it. The life they did not choose.
I've got an idea. Let's pretend we've been out all night, having a rager. We only just come in, and that's why we ended up like this.
All right.
Because you were absolutely on one last night, weren't you?
Must have been. Can hardly remember.
I'm not surprised. Started off down the Porters, on a tenner on the Fruity, and a couple of the Bruni, a couple of the Tav, ended up canoodling in the Snug, completely ignoring the really quite talented three-piece folk ensemble. Your tongue thrashing around like a freshwater eel.
All right, a bit much.
I'm just saying what I saw. Then you singing all the way up the hill.
Country roads take me home.
Exactly. And that's why, that is why, you lost your voice and can only whisper. Your ankles are swollen. And look at the state of you. State of us. That's what we get for having so much fun. Oh, we're going to feel it in the morning.
They breathe for a long time. It's only then he realizes she's asleep. And meanwhile, further down the coast, dark sand glows in cones of light as father and son, with head torches and crab hooks and the sound of the sea drowned out by the crinkling of their waterproofs, walk down to the water on this, the lowest tide of the year, revealing those precious, lesser-spotted rock pools where the real prizes hide.
Dad?
Yeah?
Remember last year?
Yeah?
When we didn't catch anything?
Yeah.
Just checking.
And back in the bay, feet slurping with each step, Caitlin has only now realised exactly how far she'll have to walk out into the smell of it.
Like opening the door to the office fridge.
At last, she reaches the water.
Praise be.
And banishing all thoughts of bacteria and microbes from her mind, she wades out, makes a single involuntary yip, and swims towards where the moon's reflected in the bay like a great paracetamol waiting to be swallowed. 100 strokes, keeping her head above water.
96, 97, 98, 99, 100.
And she comes back in feeling cured. And in the weird glow of adrenaline that follows, she decides that from now on, she will not resent her colleague Helen.
Although she always bangs on about the time she swam with the phosphorescence at Three Cliffs. How the millions of bioluminescent algae fluoresced at her touch as though...
As she put it later on her socials...
The stars had come down to swim beside me.
No. Caitlin will stop doing the floaty-voiced impressions of her that make Carl from head office slap his thigh and hoot. It's bad vibes. And so... In fact, once she's dried and dressed, she sends a text.
Hiya, Hal. Just had a dip. Your great idea. You about?
A phone lights up on a bedside table in a small room on Cwmdonkin Drive. Helen is, in fact, awake.
But not for transcendent reasons. Walking by her wrecked flatmate, playing GABA through laptop speakers at 2 a.m., a tinny and twitchy noise like an insect invasion. She couldn't get back to sleep after that, and even when listening to a soothing 12-part podcast about the history of the great Canadian lakes, she found herself disappointingly riveted.
And so she's just lying here now, dreading the moment when light will glow around the curtains. Then she notices the message on her phone. And 6 coves to the west, an 8-year-old boy is elbow deep in a rock pool.
Dad! Dad! I think I've got one!
And up on Pantakellin Road, Emlyn pushes the pram alone through the first light.
You're fine, you're fine.
Though they promised to do everything together, he could not bring himself to shake Fiona awake. And so, before the baby started to wail, he snuck him outside, babbling nonsense into the whirl of hair.
Don't worry, don't worry. Shush now, shush. We're going, we're going, we're going.
Out onto the promenade where he now plays the soothing sound of the ocean through his phone. And what a relief it is to see colour at the horizon, which means daylight still works, and the dog walkers will come out of their houses. And they must sense that he needs them.
All right, bud.
All right, bye.
Hiya, love.
It's not much, but it's enough. And he looks down at the bay in the low tide, as though the whole city is lifting up its T-shirt to show off the rash on its chest. And down there on the sand, Caitlin beams as she reads and rereads 3 messages from Helen.
Sorry, didn't make it this morning. Haven't actually been out for a swim in ages, to be honest. Just can't be bothered at the moment.
And Caitlin grips the phone, because here is someone she can get on with. And it's as she's walking home that Caitlin sees the steelworks are already lit, smokestacks burning with a green flame. And Emlyn on the hill looks up from the pram and sees it too. And Paul and his son Mikey, who together have just measured the most beautiful spider crab, but finding it precisely 1 centimetre too small...
According to official regulations...
...lower it back into the depths.
See you next year, crab.
They too look across to where the steelworks flames are rising.
Which I always think gives the bay a festive feel.
Like it is always someone's birthday in Port Albert.
And now the tide creeps back in. And though the waves say, shush, shush, shush.
Shush, shush. Shush now.
They cannot keep the city from waking. Thank you. So listen. As the streetlights blink off, we must travel now to places the M4 cannot reach. Heading west over Pencloud Salt Marsh, where its famous lambs feast on samphire and seagrass. And we do not dwell on the knowledge that the Ministry of Defence tested anthrax there in 1942, because that was ages ago. And anyway, we're moving on, past Llanelli and Carmarthen, to Larne and the grave of Dylan Thomas, where...
The Principality of the Sky lightens now over our green hill into spring morning, larked and crowed and belling.
And for a price, you can wake up in the exact room in which he once slept all day and wrote no poems whatsoever. But still, every hotel bedside holds a copy of his selected works.
A dog barks in his sleep, farmyards away. The town ripples like a lake in the waking haze.
But we must head on, past Pendine, Saundersfoot and Freshwater West, surfers out early to catch the swell. Then north we go. Smell the wood smoke rising from Brithdir Mawr, Teepee Valley, past a clearing in the trees where last night's ravers sleep off their symptoms in the camper vans, their thirst on the misted windows. And then, at last, we see it. The great wide yawn of Cardigan Bay. And rising beyond it, the 15 mountains of Eryri. And what they may lack in actual height, they make up for in charisma. And it's now we set down. In the town of Towyn, between the sea and the feet of the peaks. And here we find...
Empty Coronation Street that is rising and raising its blinds.
On the other side of town is a pretty glittering promenade and a winking beach, pocked by pebbles and sea glass. But this is not that part. In her home between the Holy Trinity of the church, the pictures and the pub, Mrs. Satin writes her name in the condensation on her bedroom window, a thousand of her nighttime breaths pearling the failed double glazing and contrasting prettily with the black mould blotches on the wall.
Remember my name?
She erases her name with the palm of her hand so that she can watch the parade of workers heading to the early shift in the biscuit factory, their hands bunched deep into their jacket pockets, tapping out the rhythm from their AirPods on the pavement with already tired feet.
Look up, look up, look up.
But they never do. Not the morning gang, wedded as they are to the topsy-turvy time between daybreak's hush and comfortable mid-morning bustle. Each morning she waits, surrounded by the soft skin and flesh colours of her bedroom, the thick, warm smells of her perfumes and oils and talcum powders, the gentle remains of the fuzziness of sleep. And she hopes that today will be the day she is seen.
They used to look up, the factory crowd. A beady morning eye and then a spreading, warming, lopsided smile. And here I'd stand, hip jutting like a paving slab, hoping to trip them up on their way to work. And once one had seen me, he'd tell another and another, until their faces turned up to my window every morning, blank and smooth like solar panels to my sun. I could feel the topography of my body under my nightgown, curved and inviting as an unwalked valley. They don't look anymore. Their eyes lock onto their feet or their phones, and here I am behind my window, acknowledged by nothing except the satin and its dead, gentle touch. Here's another one. earnest-looking, which is rare these days. Come on, lad. Look up. Look up.
Of course, she's tragic. Once beautiful. So, maybe like a flower? Too obvious? Like a chanterelle mushroom. No, not a mushroom. Probably more like a grave.
Gwyl the poet taps out the rhythm to his new work with his earnest boots, composing an ode to Mrs. Satin up at the window, without ever daring to look up at her. This will be his distraction for this morning's shift. The packing machine for the orange biscuits providing a steady, satisfying rhythm. But for now, he passes underneath her window, knowing she's there, watching him with last night's eyes, the remains of condensation pixelating her satin-shrouded body.
The satin woman. The satin woman. Behind her veiled window she stands, rings weighing heavily on hands. Do I want to rhyme? I'm not sure.
Gwyl the poet sees nothing of the street he is walking, nor the people who pass him on the pavement, weighed down with their own history.
I could do the rhyme in an ironic way.
He doesn't see the town as the majestic, noble place she is. Tywyn, jewel of the Merionydd coast, the potential of 1,000 poems clutching onto her every sill and soul and syllable.
Yeah, I'll rhyme. But I won't be serious about it. Tongue in cheek. Ironic, but with gravitas. Right. Behind her veiled window she stands, rings weighing heavy on her hands. The satin woman gazes from her room, her skin like...
He only sees himself, a poet, sacred on these streets which don't yet realise their hosting genius.
The satin woman gazes from her room, her skin damp and velvety as a mushroom. Yes. Yes, there's something in that.
Bore da, Delyth Ellen.
All right.
Yeah, I'm back.
And the satin woman, although she preferred to be known as Lady, the satin woman sighs as the young man manages to greet only one, the shaven-headed young Delyth Ellen, her eyeliner a cormorant's wing above her lashes, and, winding its way from God knows where, a long tentacle emerges from her furry coat collar to curl around her neck, a tenacious tattoo that creates the carefully curated impression that she is both beautiful and dangerous.
You and your beast, walking every single morning, just as the stragglers hurry to their morning shift.
Heel, Avanc.
He looks up at you, doesn't he? The earnest young man, though your head must feel like velveteen, freshly shaven and smooth. Choked by your tattoo, grounded by your battered boots and cobweb tights, pulled by the life force of youth and a mangy Irish wolfhound. Look at you.
Good boy.
Delyth Ellen, the velveteen-headed girl. They'll forget your name one day.
He drags me, the Zavank, right down past the church, past the bus stop with its gang of students in thuggish colours, all alone together, slabs of screens in their hands and the dregs of a grey winter clinging to them all. We walk down the Gwalia, me and the dog, through the best part of town. Holiday home. Holiday let. Posh young couple. Holiday let. Here they've renamed history and houses. Sylvan Grove and Mountain Gaze, and the villa. But when my mum was a girl, it was Miss Jenkins the gas place, or Jones the purse house, we'd never hang round too long. And the Davises in the house on the end, where the dog got electrocuted and one of the twins married a man with a glass eye.
Delith Ellen of the Velveteen Head keeps a whole town's history in her fuzzy skull. And each morning and afternoon as she walks the hound, she eyes the tourists that make week-long homes in the houses that were once overfull with families. Neighbours that fought over hung-out washing and made up over camp coffee. And she smiles at them.
Of course I smile at them. Because they're happy. They're on holiday. Their long-limbed children bend their bodies towards the mountain. Towards the path, instinctively yearning for the open isolation they'll never find in their own cities. Oh, but there's a sadness in the street that hires itself out to be loved in easy, week-long stretches.
And Delith Ellen is both conscious of and unaware that the eyes of the town watch her as she and Avanc stroll out of town along the Gwalia, away from the fisheyes of ring doorbells and bulbous CCTV cameras, away from the hiss of tyres on tarmac, away from the rectangular slabs of blind light from screens. She brings with her a thin tube of liquid, and when she arrives at the kissing gate, she pauses to suck thoughtfully at the slender cylinder. A poet with a pipe, a bald, bold, beautiful goddess, surrounded by the violet-scented mists of an e-cigarette. It makes her feel majestic to have her own aura, so easily accessible and available in 44 different delicious flavours.
I am here,
she thinks, as she strides the fields, the dew shining her boots for her.
I am here, and this is my place. From the broken recycling bins in the leisure centre car park to the jewel-coloured baby Jesus naked and knowing in the church window. From the early morning drinkers coughing up green slugs under the chewing gum dappled pavements to the tiny, nickel-tipped, dusky liberty cats growing among the reeds, full of promise and grasping the earth through wiggly stalks. From the old folks in the nursing home window, dark and still and knowing as the war memorial, to the striding, cocky holidaymakers taking this place for all that it's got. It's mine. It's all mine. The lichen and the litter and the aching, pining loneliness of living somewhere that has so many lovers.
I watch the bald girl until she's swallowed up by the green of the path. And something inside me pines for her, unexpectedly. Something that plucks inside me with a firmer finger than my morning wish to be looked up at by the boys.
I walk until I don't want to talk anymore. Until the thoughts that have hoarded themselves in my mind overnight begin to loosen and fall away. Every morning, so much to say and no one to say it to except poor Avanc. I walk until I don't want to talk anymore.
I could wait until she passes on her way home, somewhere between 10:15 and 5 past.
And if someone listened, I'd tell them that I've lived so many lives here. I'd tell them about Mam and how she called in on the old people, painted old ladies' nails because she thought they'd like the company.
I could open the door, call out, excuse me, hello, something like that, something easy, simple.
I tell them about the way she pressed a ribbon of grass between her thumbs and whistled through it, and how it was always the perfect pitch, never rasping.
Would you like to come in for a coffee? I have biscuits. We could chat.
How she used to braid my hair into a long, smooth satin rope.
You remind me of myself, you see. Oh, yes, I've got other people to talk to, but I'd like to speak to you. I love your hair, you see.
And I'd say, in a small, soft voice, what happened down at the beach. And how I have too many words to speak and no one to hear them. And how much lighter your head feels after you've cut off your hair.
I can't. One day I might say it. She might not want to come. But one day I might ask her.
Delith Ellen, velveteen-headed girl of the violet-scented mists, walks on. Avank bounding companionably beside her, tall as a Shetland pony, friendly as a neighbourhood postman. And if only the people of this town spoke his language, then they would know. If they could hear his thoughts.
Taste of this town on the air like... like the burnt leftover of someone's dinner scraped into a wheelie bin. The faint tang of chocolate orange from the factory when the breeze is headed just right. A clean, fresh taste smell of the reeds down by the fields. And the thick, warm smells of perfumes, oils and talcum powder escaping through a sliver of open window.
Stupid bloody dog.
And the hidden sounds of this town. Like... waspish buzz of a phone in a jacket pocket. A sister crying somewhere in the back of the flats because her brother won't let her have a go. An earnest pair of boots trampling a poetic rhythm.
And the satin woman watches the bald boudica. What the bloody hell rhymes with boudica?
And the dog walker swinging plastic bags of turds like women used to swing their handbags. And the motorised scooters blocking the pavement outside the post office. And the sound of early morning telly as dependable as a Sunday morning hymn in chapel.
Remember my name.
But it's a new day. Clean as a swept up pavement. And this town doesn't remember the names of yesterday. Only the rough dog fur against tattooed skin and the terrible silent street poetry of someone who dares to hope. And the shape of a woman through a window, disguised by the condensation of her own breathy dreams. And so, with the sun high and painting the sea with a streak of gold that leads all the way to Ireland, we follow the curve of Cardigan Bay back south, ignoring the nudist beach and the bottlenose dolphins chopsing in the waves. We make landfall at the fishing boat bobbing town of Newquay and, feeling parched, make our way up the steep hill past the blue plaque that marks the very room in which a certain famous writer actually did some work for once before he headed up to the Sailor's Arms to celebrate. And that's where we see the barmaid, Trianon, as she
draws a pint in the sunlit bar. The ship's clock in the bar says 11:30. 11:30 is opening time. The hands of the clock have stayed still at 11:30 for 50 years. It is always opening time in the Sailor's Arms.
Though today there's a private function in the side room, and you can tell that the guests are in mourning because Trianon's already had to change the barrel.
Iago Curtacarra. Would have loved to see us all there in our tidy suits.
Some of us more tidy than others.
Well, he's gone now.
Down to earth, at long last, if you ask me.
Yeah. What an odd man he was.
Something the great wind left behind.
A man raised in a field, see? According to the dung.
It was only eyes and shoes with... and bird shoes. At that.
Bird shoes? Who's heard of that?
His face. The colour of reed tea. And his tongue. Not so much tied as twisted, eh?
But boy, could he dance in his socks. As if he was squatting fleas, man. And you see, Grist, he'd laugh in your face and piss in your pocket.
Hey, what's your language? I was related to him. Well, through a thick hedge.
Well, I never knew that.
He did, I guess, have some sense, but wasn't a saint.
Hey, good line that. Huh? A bit of King Haneth. I mean, rhymes together, guess. Sense and saint. All sign.
What do you mean?
Well, not sign, but sign. Welsh for sound.
Oh, you're not one of those strict poets, are you?
Well, I want to be in with a chance, wear a white sheet and look important once a year at the Eisteddfod someday.
Now, wasn't Iago like that sometimes, a kind of Shonny Bob Ochor, Johnny Two Sides?
Bit of a critic of sorts. Well, you know the saying, God created a poet, and from the rubbish that was left, he created three critics.
Oh, don't talk poetry with me. He got into a lot of scrapes, didn't he? But there we are. Somebody's shirt is always on the line.
Hadn't been to London, see?
What's London got to do with nothing?
It's an old saying, man. If you're clever, you've been to London.
I've been to London.
Yeah, well, always some exceptions.
Watch it. Oh, great, now I'm dialing the truck.
Serving drinks in a pub isn't my cup of tea, but, well, since it's a wake, how could I refuse a friend? Been a good neighbour to me over the years. So, she's a widow now. Some would say, long before. Gallu mawr yw gallu peidio. Well, I did say I'd help out.
Well, this month, he bought 9 burial plots because he couldn't miss out on the bargain. Thing is, he wasn't married or anything. He had no kids that he knew of anyway, and only 2 nieces and 2 nephews.
Soon it will be over. Though, of course, it never is with a wake. Starts all somber, measuring lives in stops and starts. But then most mouths are wise when shut tight. And then they jolly up, ribbing away. Rhiannon, I say, when I'm asked. What a lovely name. Isn't she in the Mabinogi somewhere? Didn't she like riding a white horse? She did more than that. She made herself a horse. Carried men. They always laugh. A horsey woman and all that. To cut it fine, I sometimes say, I'm she. But then one will show that he knows words.
He?
Doesn't that mean too much? And another will say,
it's the wind, a guintu, a roar in your ear.
Yes, I can bellow like the word, I say. Then they quit the banter. All quiet. So I add to those addled. When the wise fail, they fail far away. Pan gill y call, fe gill ymhell. All those hs. They get the message.
Well, he passed on eventually. But imagine the shock to receive an envelope saying you've inherited something special and there's you thinking, yes, the world's my oyster. But then, there it is in black and white. You've been bequeathed, handed down, that is, for posterity, like a burial plot you don't plan on using. It's enough for you to want to kill yourself to fill it.
Men's only funeral gathering is one way to keep other women at bay.
Mind you, you could see the sun shining in the middle of the night.
So more of the moon, if you ask me. I'm tall enough to catch the stars. Well, when measuring the road on a Friday night, eh?
They're sure to talk about him in the next Bible.
Might as well drown in the sea as in a shaving cup, I suppose.
And the sea does have a hard head, even if it's got a soft body.
Talking of drowning, how about singing a song?
Yma cariad, fel y môr.
like the sea. Oh, oh. Good pub hymn, that one.
Oh. Or we could sing in Iamao heat. David Iwan, because we are still here.
Come on. Ready to leave? Well, let's sing both. Huh? No, the door is over there, man.
Oh. Oia feid yo cofian dan o. Oia feid yo. And go on, not that stretch.
I'd really rather be home with my cat and tapestries. Cross-stitching. Filling tiny holes with silk threads. Oh, we're all threads, really. Some too tight. Others just fray, and there's no way but to throw them down for the cat to play, pretending she's catching a mouse. There's not much between us and mice, really, for that matter. Mice or rats. We're all matter in the end. All soil, and not so much soul. And I'm here, serving them. See them pickled away with those disgusting eggs staring at me on the counter.
But he had two nieces and two nephews, and they all had the same solicitor's letter on the same day. They've all got two plots each. What a commotion. Said one, let's beat him at his own game, and let's draw lots, and whoever wins gets the bloody lot.
Never liked pubs. And now community pubs make you feel a sense of duty to commit and sit, drink and talk shit. Sotha. And some of the talk between the mumblers and gabblers. Minds they don't hold much. Like saucers. Meddwl, saucer, my dad would say. I think they're more like mugs, really. They make the newly departed out to be a red robin walking in dough. But then I only knew him in passing. Should he heavy? And now he has truly passed. Bless the rest.
And meanwhile, outside, the sun springs down on the rough and tumbling town. It runs through the hedges of Goosecog Lane, cuffing the birds to sing. Spring whips green down Cockle Row, and the shells ring out, as do the footsteps of would-be poets, half-cut and in clumsy two-part harmony, finally obliterating the cliché that any given Welshman can hold a tune.
Oh, so careful, though. A little shaky down by you, even if it is a shortcut.
Llwybr tarw, good words for a shortcut.
A bull's way. The bull's way is straight, or this is far from...
Okay, how about Llwybr Llygad for shortcut?
Aye, Path. You and your clever words. What's wrong with shortcut? And anyway, more an eyelet than an eye.
Real eye so more like it. Look at this graveyard gate, all rusty.
Oh. Hey, come on then. Mindrot, rot, when Mindrot, rot, the tray. Hey, whoa, steady, but. See that sign there?
Beware, dangerous graves.
I do think I see some pale light moving over there. Huh? It'll be corpse candle.
Daft. Pale light. Pale light ale in your belly, most likely. And anyway, still daylight.
Oh. Well, now he's gone. And we have to keep going.
What do you mean by going?
Well, in the thin language, English, I find, it's growing old. But in Welsh, it's going old. Mynd yn hen means we still go, even if some of us go faster than others.
Come to think of it,
Did everybody else go before us? Huh? Your home, I mean.
How should I know? Hey, bad cough, that. You know, a dry cough is the trumpet of death.
Oh, thanks, Guy, for that. Nearly home now and you're a real twat.
What did he call me?
Twat. Total waste of time.
Ooh, da. Not drinking after funerals with you again.
Ah, a funeral. Him gone now, gone with the wind.
Gwent te Gary Hall. Fair wind behind him. Right then.
You'll be all right now, huh? Three doors down, remember? You can count.
Three doors down. I could do with a sit down.
Tea time too. At least we're home before it gets dark as sin.
Aye, we'll have lagged there. Hey, be sure to raise a glass.
Not for a while, Kai. But yechi da to yours, buddy.
Aye, let's hope this year and the next is kind to us.
Good thing. No more funerals. You know what my mam Gee used to tell me? Don't live your life in a hearse.
Oh, nice thought. Not the hearse, I mean, but I might write about that. See everything, and not behind glass.
I'll want royalties, come here.
Well, perhaps I won't then. Da bonar.
Da bo.
Of course, we're all born jigsaws. Some of us, big, simple bits. Others, 5,000 tiny pieces. All fingers and thumbs, working out to make a picture. But when you try and put them all together, there's always one gone missing. And it's never one of the bits at the side, but no. Slap bang in the middle. A bit like life, really. All a puzzle. Never complete. At least with cross-stitch, they're finished. Precise tapestries, perhaps. Not precious. But a needle remembers. And I'm back. Sitting by my mum's side. Bedridden. But oh, so nimble. From weave to warp. Make life your needle's point, she said. Fill it with joy. And she's never far away, in the quiet hours. Close by, in my ear, singing Hiraeth. Hiraeth, a longing you can't translate.
The sea lolls, laps and idles in with fishes sleeping in its lap.
And the sun is knackered, done in, plummeting down to smash itself to pieces against the Irish sea. Pretty, mind, the whole sky lit with scraps of pink and yellow. But we can't hang about, indulging ourselves with imagery, for we have an appointment in the capital. So let us imagine for a moment that there are functional high-speed transport links, and we soar on electrified rails back east to the metropolis. As daylight fades and our carriage fills with boys in shirts so tight the buttons could take your eye out, and sports fans who sing when they're winning and sing even more when they don't. Until everyone's packed in and it's, please do not block the vestibule areas. The next station stop is Cardiff. And the great white stadium comes battering into view like a cruise ship. And at Cardiff Central, the night trippers spill out and the seagulls turn aggressive.
Down in the dusking town.
But this is not our final stop. Let's take the local train, for there is a city within the city, and sometimes, if you listen, it speaks.
Ever so Cardiff you are, said the sailor to his mate,
a silky, dust-cracked voice venting between cigar puffs, work-rough fingers he has. All day shifted out. There he is, look, ambling down Alice Street as the day is sucked away over the bay.
Hang on a minute now. You aren't launching into a Tiger Bay good old days bit, are you? Because that's all gone now. Berlin walled it, didn't they? Train tracks cut like a knife across the old processions.
I wish I could have seen it, Diff. Mind if I call you that? What's the etiquette for addressing a city, I wonder? I bet you miss that melange of Hoyos and Hindus, Boyos and Bindis. See that Achi shouting Achavi at the neighbour's dog pissing on his gate.
Achavi, Ted. Yalla, get lost.
Then saunter, tiger swaggery all up Butte Street.
Yeah, but everything changes, don't it? Rearranged like a live game of Tetris. The rotting wood of the old port, all that they left. Stop by the Norwegian church and you'll see them sticking out of the bay. Ribs of a carcassed history. Picked clean and plastered over, Tiger Bay is. Ever so shiny and new. Cardiff Bay and Barrage it is now. All high-rise apartments, weekends of paper boat races, and overpriced coffee.
That'll be $4.25, please.
But Butte Street is still there. Walk all the way up. Is it Canal Street or Haysbridge now? Skip between piled-up taxis full of shoppers clutching plastic treasures or the droopy-eyed workers heading home. Stop for the hub or hub of my kind of hub, Seeds of Love shaped like books.
Oh, give it a rest, will you? It's a library.
Diff, mate, I'm a poet. I'm doing what poets do.
What, being a twat?
No, embellishing I am.
Oh, embellishing, right. Mind if I give it a try?
Not at all, Diff. No one's going to tell it better than you, are they?
Well, it starts with a river. Before I knew place, I was simple streaming ideas. A constant running thread of dance and days. Leaves felt like pauses or thoughts. I sliced through the land, uninterrupted. Until I was.
Was what? The Taff?
Myself. Tamian, they call me, after the river. It means flowing one, treasure keeper, deep with coin and sludge. Fortress they made me, to keep the people, the water, out. Protected, and once protected, I was desired. A space made special by parameters of stone and wood. Slow, they made me. Meandering to Merthyr, my might was diminished. A river castrated.
You're talking about the canal, Dick?
Well, if that's what you want to call it. And now they've reopened the canal up Churchill Way. They used to line my teeth with steel, pack my muscles iron hard, but now there's no point, no more purpose, just pliable, plasticky water, pleasant to look at. Oh, and you mentioned Butte, a right Victorian dandy he was.
Build me a castle,
he said.
I want to play Roman soldiers and Arabian knights. Build my wife a boudoir of wood-woven honeycomb. Magica Mechanus vaulted to make the Moors jealous. Give me drama,
he said.
Let lordly lions languish out front. Have a hyena, a wolf, a polar bear wink from the walls at every passerby.
Then the war came.
Aye, the war. Oh, my cathedral in Lander. Those savage Luftwaffe planes wanted her dead. And a bakery over on Corporation Road blitzed. Fresh baked bread became the dead's grave goods. No treasure to carry to the afterlife, only blackened loaves and regret.
But then you became the capital, right?
Yeah, aye. Took them long enough, though. 1955 it was. Anyway, am I telling this story or you?
Sorry.
They didn't want me, mind. MacCulloch, they said. It should be the seat of Glyndŵr. So I shifted, booming deep, bellowing out black gifts. I visited their dreams, whispering of the world. I am the gateway, I said.
And that was a lie?
No, not really. More of an exaggeration. Soon the ships clustered into my port, piled with people and places hard to pronounce. Roots were planted in kisses and lovesick letters tiptoeing back and forth on the tides. And now my patchwork garden claims fragrant memories from all points on the map. I may no longer move, but the world rivers its way to me. There is no toll to reach Riverside anymore. If you stand at Death Junction in Roth at dusk, you might catch the echoed groans of Gallows Fields between the beeps of an electric Green Man's Crossing. But I'm more intrigued by that old couple over there, watching a world go by from a wooden bench. Let's sit with them a while.
What was the name of that ballerina, Cliff? The one you made the cocktail for?
I've told you this story 100 times, Jean. It was Margot Fontaine. She ordered a gin sour. And I had to go down to the kitchens to get an egg, because in those days you made a gin sour with an egg white.
I don't know if I fancy that, Cliff. Did she like it?
Best one she ever had, she said.
That was before we met, wasn't it?
Yes, my love. It was in the spring, May 1954.
He says, pulling her closer.
Just before my world changed.
Let's leave the old lovers to it. See the temple uncle in matching turban and trainers, both midnight blue. He sips at his Pepsi just by the crossing, and a boy, beard barely there, asks, "You okay, uncle?" There's a tabby cat over by Chapter, the mews every time you pass, open for a treat. All the children in high-vis jackets, royal, like a wave across the pavement up towards the water park.
Hello, Shemai.
Ask the cake makers, serving your chocolate poise, the best chocolatey comfort for a crisp autumn treat.
Fancy another macaron, Hannah?
Don't mind if I do.
There. My memory is replenished, not staccatoed in brackish puddles. Two boys, under the bridge, fish out a rotted door. Further along in the park, a girl runs, hoisting up a butterfly net.
Drach y mam, dwi wedi dal un.
Her mum, sat nearby, munches on a pasty. She smiles at her daughter, lips glittery with crumbs. Water bus glides by kayaks, bobbing like a gentleman tips his trilby. Oh, but there. Look, if you have the stomach for it. Under the willow. That poor sorry soul's had enough. Lighter than his worries, he floats. Life less than yesterday.
That's a bit grim, isn't it?
Our story always has shadows. And look how they grow bolder as the last beams of light leak over the horizon. The lamps shake awake. Those sturdy guards glimmering onto the streets.
Now who's getting carried away?
I'm allowed a little self-indulgence. Certain seasons feel like I'm unfurling my feathers, shaking out my evening gown. Now look, you see those warm amber colours drape across the haze? Heath, old Grand Avenue, like sequins. Those leaves shine louder than the spiteful wind and rain.
Summer looks good on you too. I love sugar in my summer nights. Head through Albany, not Alberni Road, just in time for ice cream and sunset at Roth Park Lake. As the day dials down, even the ducks hush. Soft, wafting water chimes in time to the jogger and his dog as they circle the lake once, sometimes twice before tea. See Ninja tapping out a drumbeat on the bin somewhere in Chippy Lane.
Speaking of beats, how about that carnival? All that soft soul. Aswad's joyful vibrations and coloured crepe cakes float on a breeze that teases with the spicy smoke of jerk chicken cooking somewhere nearby. Watch your neighbourhood bounce brightly together, trailing resilient laughter through Blue Town as the sun goes down.
Oh, and I love dusk on City Road in the summer. The air is sweet with shisha and good coffee.
Buena, Habibi.
Wallah, the traffic down Newport Road is getting terrible.
Are you having chai or gahwa?
Everyone wants to see and be seen. Even the cars flirt in coded beeps as they cruise along the street.
The neon signs buzz on. No doubt you'll pass the drumbeats of a party starting. We Cardiff creatures come alive like the lights turning on. We blast warm, we do.
Yes, we do. My face has changed so much. Growing, stretched out, paved over, ripped apart, mottled and furrowed, buried and bartered over, but so what? My tattoos tell the story for those looking for a life libraried under stone and streams. Every tree that's planted mingles new roots with ancient soil, carrying memories up to the tips of every twig, reaching for the sky. As people pass by, the leaves whisper a remembering of all those happy, quiet happenings across time. Across memory. They warm the stones, the streets, and every witnessed moment I cherish under wrinkled mud, aging rock. It leaves me speechless, it does.
Me too.
Soon the day deepens colour, rouging herself into night. I am in awe at this hushed beauty, at how much a city can stretch and shift. At the bustling beauty of all who, scattered by the wind, choose to settle here with me.
Dusk is drowned forever until tomorrow. It is all at once night now.
And now the streetlights bat on. And as we head north through Llandaff and Trubina, they haven't thought to draw the curtains yet. And so every front room is lit from within like a light box. And through each window we see well-lit scenes of improvised theatre, such as Lone Man Reads Magazine Quite Slowly, or Couple on Sofa Both Sending Texts, or Child Past Her Bedtime Standing Up to Watch Cartoons, or Five Ways to Aggressively Serve Dinner.
All over the calling dark, babies and old men are bribed and lullabied to sleep.
Until all the shows end, when the curtains come down, and the blinds do too, until finally there is no one left to spy on. And we leave the speaking city and head up to the heads of the valleys and the long arms of them too, reaching out to Merthyr, Blackwood, Aberdare, Treorchy, Ponty, and the other Ponty, through the corrugated hills as the last light is sucked from the sky and darkness comes rushing in to take its place. Until at last we find a spot to rest, a seat in a park in the Fronda.
Listen to the night breaking.
Chaffinches squabbling for the best place on the branch. My grandchild's pigeons do that too. Cars on the main road. A necklace of rubies going down. Diamonds going up. St. Peter's bells ringing for six. Heaviest ringing bells in all of Wales, Mr. Macaronelli says. Kennard Park floodlights snap on with a crack. Football boys tramping across the tarmac in his stud.
Hey, look, boys. Alfie Rowland's little sister.
Oh, no, man.
Hey, roller girl!
Focus. Skate four continuous back outside edges on alternated feet. Free leg extended. Keep momentum between edges with a rolling T push. Lean on the little toe, feet together, push away. Little toe, feet together, push away. Oh my God, I'm doing it. I'm actually rolling T push. Flying, slaying, Federation of Artistic Roller Skating, grade 6, baby. Whoa. Lean. Lean.
Look at the state.
Chappy, that is you putting me off.
You won't do that again in a hurry.
Find the dark, if you will, Var.
Oh, the brains is gone, Eric. We got this new craft beer, Vulcana's Biceps. They brew it on the industrial estate. Golden ale, 4.5%.
4.5? Do. Well, why not? You've had your hair cut, Var. It used to be long.
Done to you?
No, girl, women should keep their hair long.
A man should be tall, dark and handsome.
I was once.
Cash or card?
Well, not tall, but the rest.
Yes, love. What can I get you?
That's what Ker Edwin said. My Eric. Short, dark and handsome. There's a South Walian trait. It's genetics. Men needed to be dirty to get into all those nooks down their minds. That's my excuse, anyway. This is my first husband, she'd say when she introduced me to her colleagues at the Christmas do. Like to keep me on my toes, see. First and only, it turned out. Cervical cancer, just cruel, man. Women should keep their hair long, she said. She read it in a magazine in the waiting room at the docks. Enhances facial features, diverts attention from wrinkles. She kept hers long until she lost it all from the chemo. Caredwin, my love, I'm glad you're not around to see everything changing so fast. Vulcana's biceps, Minifani. Vulcana can stick it up her jacks. All right, I'm off.
What are you having, Aim? She says, espresso martini. I love coffee liqueur. Mind, we should pick the one with the most booze. Get our money's worth. Long Island iced tea, tequila, rum, vodka, triple sec. I'm not sure. Traffic light, she says. It's got cranberry, melon, lush. That's what I love. But what about the woo-woos, cranberry schnapps? It's like being on holidays in Magaluf, remember? Don't remind me, she says. Sex on the beach? No way, I say. In Magaluf? Cocktails, she says. Idiot. I thought she was going to admit it for a minute. I'm positive she did it with a mechanic from Wolverhampton behind her inflatable flamingo.
Cocktails are 2-for-1 now, girls. Happy hour, 6 till 8.
Magaluf, we should have gone this week, she says. Dublin, at least. Who wants to spend their end night sipping cocktails in their local? What's Matthew doing for his stag, anyway? Zip World Tower. If Lloydie can convince him, he's scared of heights. He's shitting his kecks. Anyway, it's part of a new, more responsible me. I'm working every Saturday for the next 3 months. Thank God you're getting married on a Sunday, she says. But by May, I'll have all my training hours officially registered dispensing optician. Scarce as rocking horse poop in Australasia. You know, I've always wanted to live in New Zealand. It's all rain, sheep and rugby, she says. May as well stay here. You gonna get one of them Maori tattoos on your face? That'd be epic. She thinks I'm joking, but I'm not. I want to see the world. What's Math think about that then? She says. She's never liked him. If he were chocolate, he'd lick himself, she says. He never wants to leave the valleys, is what he thinks about that. Says, I've got the Rhondda written through me like a stick of puth coal rock game. Definitely wants 3 kids to take trout fishing up the ladders, though. Finish that gin up, she says. Mojitos next.
Listen to my heart breaking. It'll be all around school again. Gracie Rowlands flat on her face in Kennard Park. Ugh, I'm bleeding now. Look. Still with a dandelion leaf. Olivia Griffiths says her periods have started, but she wanted her period so badly for so long. She probably brought it on herself. staring proper out at the sanitary products and spa. "You'll be next," she says. Nana told me that girls' bodies change then. Heavier, more water to carry. Maybe I won't be able to skate anymore. Sonia Gray's.
Hey, round two now. Let's him for punishment, Gracie girl.
Concentrate. Skate four continuous forward cross rolls. Forward, outside edge, and bend.
They've got all sorts now. Guided tours to the top of Pen Peak. And a zip line over the old colliery site. The Rons, though, we are not flipping Tenby. You start encouraging tourists up here and the house prices go through the roof. Of course, some things never change. Treorchy Cemetery up there. No star Johnny Waters. No star Philip Coombs. Johnny was a tonic, Waratig. I loved his company, I did. I remember it like yesterday. Sultry Saturday night in 1963, on our way to see Tommy Scott up the Pig and Whistle. Old Bobby on the beat took an interest in Johnny's shiny new winkle pickers. "Do your feet go all the way down to that point at the end there?" he asks. No. Johnny points at the nipple on the top of this Bobby's helmet. "Why, does your head go all the way up to that point by there?" You wicked he was. I work with Coombsy in the cassette tape factory. Kit Kat, we called him, because he was never off his break. Lazy sod. The factory's dead now as well. The whole language from there is gone. All that witty back and forth helped to while away the tedium on the assembly line. "Go get me the long wait, son. Ask the stores for the tartan paint." You had to build character in the young'uns and environment like that. Now it's all, "Let's touch base. Have a nice day." Credwin wanted to be cremated. Ashes scattered on Barry Island. I couldn't bear to part with her, so I put her on the windowsill in the kitchen. Cracking view of Mynydd Meirc by there. She'd understand.
Oh, God. Oh, too much drink, Bixen. There, she says, holding my hair back like we're 17 again, sneaking white lightning down the gully. Get it up, hun. I'm too old for this. I tell her like it's all her fault. I'm responsible now. I'm a grown-up. Don't worry about it, eh, miss your hen night, for God's sake. It'll probably be the last time you'll ever be sick in a toilet in a bar. Math will have you popping barbers out like fun. That's not happening. Not yet, anyway. New Zealand's got red snappers, tuna, mullet, everything. Wait until I tell him. Oh, God. "Wipe your mouth," she says. All I've got to do is get him on the plane. 2 years on the South Island in exchange for 3 kids. That's what marriage is all about. Compromise. Up, up and away.
All right, boys. You're all set. The parachutes automatically act as brakes, so you'll slow as you reach the end of the line. Counting down. 3, die. In. Go!
Credwin, my love. There you are. Not too late, am I? Now, let's see. Remove sleeve, yes. Pierce. Film, microwave from chilled 1 minute. I don't miss your cooking, my love. I'm sorry to say, but you know what I mean. How you kept your job in that canteen for so long, I'll never know. The boss had the eyes for you, obvious. But those railway workers, guts like iron pipes they must have had. That corned beef pie of yours was an acquired taste. And the faggots and peas, always cold in the middle. And that time you tried to bake a pineapple cake, 2 fluid ounces, the recipe said. You thought it meant ounces of flour. Oh, cooking's not everything, is it, though? It's like you used to say, 2 good cooks in one house was a waste. Not that I bother anymore. Not worth it, for one. Right then. A bit of a dog's dinner, if I'm honest. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to take this one into the living room with a TV and lecky blanket. It's not spring yet. Not at this time of night. No star, lovely girl.
Listen to the glass breaking in the druggy flat across the road. Someone's upset because they couldn't get their fix. Stay away from them scruffy buildings on Crawshay Street, Mr. Macronelli says. But it's only here the tarmac's moving off. I'm making good progress with my backward skating. Bubble stagger left, bubble stagger right. Power twist left, power twist right. Speed it up. Yes. Bubble stagger left, bubble stagger right. Power twist. Power twist.
Go on, Gracie.
Bubble stagger left, bubble stagger right. Here we are, the JP Skating Artistic Champions of Braden Arena and Great Yarmouth, where the judges are about to... It's Roland. Gracie Rollins from the Robber Valleys takes first place in the 2024 competition. All the dog walkers have gone home. A boy racer hurtles over the mountain. Cattle grid echoing like a gunshot. People are always saying, at the end of the day this, or at the end of the day something else.
At the end of the day, a new day is on the way. For some of us, in any case. That's the meaning of life, Cred Winvach. The meaning of life is that you die.
Last orders, please!
I love MC. I love math. I always have. I know you do, she says. When you love them, you'll compromise. That's what marriage is all about at the end of the day. I love him, I know you do him, she says. I do. I love him. I do.
The end of the day now. No more chops in now. All quiet. Shh.
Dusk is drowned forever until tomorrow. It is all at once night now. The windy town is a hill of windows. And from the larruped waves, the lights of the lamps in the windows call back the day and the dead that have run away to sea. All over the calling dark, babies and old men are bribed and lullabied to sleep.
And yes, now even Richard Burton falls quiet. And up north in Towin, Delith Ellen's taken a bedtime pull of cherry vapour, gone big, suddenly lost in a wreath of mist, like she's about to step out on stage to be transformed into exactly the same person, just a few seconds older. And across town, Gwyl the poet feels a poem coming on. Reaches out of bed to write a note in his phone. Something, something, relentlessness of time, something, something. And in the Hronda, Gracie Rowlands dreams of skating. And in the dream, she knows that she could fly. But why would she want to? And Amy Jenkins has passed out on her bed, fully dressed, fuzzy teeth, phone in hand, glowing with a half-written message to Math she did not quite send. Loves you. Don't die. And yes, it's still someone's birthday in Port Talbot, and the Mumbles has put on a glittering necklace, and Caitlin and Helen are in Helen's tiny living room in the uplands, laughing so much they both get the hiccups. And on the hill, the parents sleep when the baby sleeps, and all of a sudden their snoring attains a fearsome synchronicity. And in the sailor's arms in Newquay, Rhiannon has rung last orders on at least 4 occasions, and this time she means it. She takes the last of the mourners by hand and pushes them out the fire exit, sets them free into the proper dark, Bible black. And in our nation's capital, even the non-stop city puts a sock in it, and the seagulls are on their break, and a man on St. Mary Street who has been butchering my hen Willard for the last 15 minutes finds peace in his half and half, half chips, half rice. And listen now, it's just the sound of the wind in the bins and the waves headbutting the shoreline again and again. And the spider crabs stay snug in their rock pools, limbs tucked and dreaming of kelp as the tide wipes the day clean.
Under Milk Woods, inspired by Dylan Thomas's 1954 radio play, featuring the voice of Richard Burton. In Under Milk Woods, the writers were Joe Dunthorne, Manon Stefan Ross, Mena Elvin, Hanan Issa, and Rachel Chazais. First voice was played by Ruth Jones, Caitlin by Sophie Melville, Emlyn Shaheen Jaffagoli, Fiona Nadia Winaboyan, and Mikey Antoine Lopez Norton. Mrs. Saturn was Sarah Harris Davis, Gwyl the Poet, Gwion Morris Jones, Delith Ellen, Lois Milady Jones, and Avanc, James O'Quinn. Oshan by Ivan Hugh David, Kai Johan Heaven, and Rhiannon by Airy Thomas. Hanan was played by Hanan Issa and Diff by Dean Rachman. Gracie Rowlands was played by Maisie Lee Bryant, Eric Watkins, Alan David, and Amy Jenkins by Tamara Brabon. Sound design was by Jonathan Thomas and Catherine Robinson, and it was directed by Faye Lomas and Emma Harding, BBC Audio Drama Wales.
And join us next Sunday at 7:30 for Drama on 3, The Farewell Glacier. It's a poetic journey through time and the Arctic, looking at climate change, written by Nick Drake. Next on Radio 3, Hannah French looks in more detail at Mozart's Third String Quintet in Record Review Extra.
BBC Radio 3, the home of classical music.
What is a classical breakfast? We think it goes something like this.
Plenty of winter sunshine at London, Edinburgh, Sheffield. Very warm welcome if you're just switching on. Good to have your company.
Get all the information you need first thing. and brighten your breakfast with a handcrafted selection of the world's best music. For a different breakfast, join me, Petroc Trelawney, weekday mornings from 6:30.
Listen on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
This is Radio 3. At midnight, Linton Stevens tries out a classical playlist on actors and musicians, Michelle Dockery and Michael Fox. At 11:30, it's Slow Radio, a sonic road trip in four movements across southeast Morocco. But now it's time for Record Review Extra with Hannah French.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Record Review Extra. Pianist Martin James Bartlett begins our show tonight with an arabesque by Debussy.